This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to Enterprise Biz Bites. It is Thursday, the 22nd of July. My name is Audrey Raj and joining me virtually today is...
Mr. Richard Bradbury.
Hello, Mr. Richard Bradbury. How are you doing today?
I'm very well, Audrey. How are you feeling?
I'm all right. I feel slightly under pressure because also joining me in the studio today is our intern extraordinaire, Daniel T. Daniel, say hi.
Hi.
Hi, Daniel.
You know, he's here keeping me company and also watching me like a hawk.
Right. I was interested in some of the little news pieces I just heard at the top of the hour there about how there is no heat wave, apparently.
Unbelievable.
Somebody tell my air conditioner that, please.
Working on overtime, right?
It's ridiculous right now. Every time I switch it on, I swear it groans. It's getting a day older and not a day wiser.
And it seems to be getting warmer or hotter in the afternoon.
That's right.
It's quite nice outside here in Tamantun today. But, you know, later this afternoon, you don't know what it's going to be like, right?
It's a steamer. That's what it is. It's a steamer.
On the show today, we're going to be talking about chiropractors and if you consider them essential services. Also on the show, we're going to be talking about how the businesses are struggling in Singapore, especially with a heightened risk of COVID now, right? They've gone into phase two. And we'll end the show with a very interesting story about vaccines for sale. And at any point in time, if anyone wants to get in touch with us and share their thoughts, what will they have to do, Rich?
They can drop us a tweet at BFM Radio. They can get us on Instagram, also at BFM Radio. And if you want to get in touch via WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. Running polls on both Instagram and Twitter if you want to take part in that. Suggest that you do. Get involved.
Yes. So we're going to kick the show off with that story about chiropractors and the straw that's breaking their backs.
Yeah, that, good no, pun. Well, did you write that one?
No, I didn't. I think
no,
it was
you didn't
Chris.
Write that one. That was Christine, right? I've heard a lot of people talking about this, you know, and obviously many have called for complementary medical services to be allowed to continue operating during the first phase of the National Recovery Plan as they alleviate the burden on an already overloaded healthcare system. A lot of us complaining about back problems, neck problems, shoulder problems, whatever it is. The discussion is that they should be allowed to continue to help with that burden. And this was originally raised, I believe, by Sagambut MP Hannah Yeo. She urged the National Security Council, the MKN, to allow people like chiropractors to continue providing their services. In a statement made last month, she said many patients suffering from acute pain in the lower back or neck, headaches, slip discs or scoliosis, rely on these specialists for treatment. Many patients were in the middle of treatment when these medical services were suddenly deemed not essential and could no longer operate. She said going without such treatment for 4 weeks during the lockdown could harm patients and cause their conditions to regress. Also true for other therapists, she said, such as those dealing with special needs children. Here's a quote. We had dealt with this matter in the previous movement control order. Why are they suddenly not allowed to operate under this current total lockdown when previously they could? Mm. The SOPs need to be consistent. This is not our first MCO. No more confusion, please. These inconsistencies may cost our patients and industries dearly. Reiterated again, more recently in a statement, she said regarding Ismail Sabri Yaakob's new post as Deputy Prime Minister and the powers afforded to his office, where she called to amend nonsensical SOPs in place during the lockdown. Oh, come on, Hannah. She said in a Facebook post that if he fails to act appropriately in his new role to help struggling Malaysians, it would show his appointment was a mere political stunt. And she went on to add, only a wicked government would sit back and do nothing when all it takes is one coordination meeting to be chaired by the newly minted DPM to immediately provide relief to the people. She said that Ismail should provide greater consistency by reopening more of the personal health, grooming and wellness sector, something we've been talking about a lot over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And these can be done using the established SOPs set during the previous restrictions. A final quote, she said that she's been informed that chiropractors are not allowed to operate during this lockdown whilst physiotherapists can. Why should a physiotherapist be less likely to transmit the virus than a chiropractor? With his newly acquired powers as the DPM, I urge Ismail Sabri to heed his own advice to stop politicking and focus on helping the people by fixing some of these discrepancies with the lockdown SOPs immediately. Interesting. A lot of people would argue that physiotherapists and chiropractors are not the same. Mm. You know, with, however you look at it in a medical term or a medical look at things, but in the way in which their businesses operate, I would imagine they're pretty much almost identical.
Right, right.
So you know what I mean?
So where do you sit with this, Rich? You know, do you consider chiropractors essential services?
I do. I do. Yeah. Even though I'm not a user, a visitor of chiropractors myself, I do see a physiotherapist, but I know a lot of people who are highly reliant on chiropractors, be it because they have bone misalignments or whatever. And for them, for those people that use chiropractors, I know it helps them a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, especially if you're sat at home for hours upon hours staring at a computer, you know, on a cheap chair.
That's not made.
Correct.
For exactly that, right?
Yeah. Now, what about you?
Yeah, I do consider them essential just because I've been visiting a chiropractor for about 4 years now. And, you know, I just go in maybe every 6 months or so for a bit of a maintenance and but it's really helped with my posture, with my back issues and all post-pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And honestly, not being able to visit the chiropractor now for about 2 months, it's I can feel the creaking. You know, I can feel the discomfort, and I know that I'm going to need to visit them soon. So, you know, I am all for chiropractors being allowed to open, especially during this phase, you know, the first phase, because we don't know how long till we drop below that 4,000 cases mark, right? It could take a while to do that.
For sure. I mean, and there's things that, you know, have been closed that you can do at home to a degree. You know, you can have somebody help you cut your hair. You can have somebody help you paint your nails or cut your nails or whatever, to a degree. Mm. You cannot crack your own bones in the middle of your back, in the middle of your shoulder. And even if you were to ask somebody to do that, it's dangerous.
Yeah.
You know, and these people who are suffering might just get to the point where they might ask somebody at home, can you just crack my back for me? And you never know what's going to happen.
No, please do not. Do not try
Absolutely
that.
Absolutely do not. No,
but it's not just like cracking your back or your neck or anything like that, but it's also the massages, acupuncture, and all the other services that the chiropractors provide. But, you know, who better to talk to us about these services than someone from the industry himself, Dr. Newell Tan, chiropractor and president of the Association of Chiropractic Malaysia, will be on the line with us when we come back. But for now, get in touch with us and tell us, do you consider chiropractors essential services? Why or why not? The numbers to get in touch, 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp, at BFM Radio on Twitter and on Instagram. We'll be back after Stevie Ray Vaughan with The House is Rockin'. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bites, BFM 89.9.
Building Fit Malaysians, BFM 89.9.
Welcome back. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bites with Rich Bradbury and Audrey Raj. On the show today, we are asking you if you consider chiropractors essential services. Why or why not? The numbers to get in touch, 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp, at BFM Radio on Twitter and on Instagram. Rich, before we get to our guest, do we just want to take a look at the poll?
Can do. Over on Twitter, 76.4% of you are saying yes, you consider them an essential service. And over on Instagram, ever so slightly different, though in the same direction, 82% saying yes, just 18% of you saying no. As you mentioned, Auds, we are talking about the straw that broke the chiropractor's back. We managed to get hold of Dr. Newell Tan, chiropractor and president of the Association of Chiropractic Malaysia. So a bunch of questions for you, Dr. Tan. How many chiropractors are there in Malaysia, and what kind of cumulative lost revenues are we talking about since the first MCO?
So the last I checked, the Association of Chiropractic Malaysia, or for short ACM, has 294 registered and practicing chiropractors. Including those who are not registered, in combination, we probably have somewhere around 320 practicing chiropractors in Malaysia. And given that a chiropractor has at least one assistant per, we are talking about the livelihoods of at least 640 people that have been affected since the first MCO. These figures might be underreported. So taking these figures into account, we are estimating a loss of about 40% to 50% revenues per month for each chiropractor. And that said, for example, when 40% is averaged at 20,000 ringgit per month per chiropractor, so in a month, we are seeing a loss of about 6.5 million ringgit from the chiropractic industry. Again, I may have to emphasize that these figures can be underreported. And to those who know how a chiropractic business operates, most chiropractors live from hand to mouth. When a chiropractor sees a patient, she or he will have an income. But when the chiropractor does not see a patient, she or he will not have an income. And if she or he is a business owner or an employer, she or he will need to pay the staffs, employees, utilities, rent, equipment, web maintenance fees, and so on and so forth. And what about chiropractors who are employed? That is equivalent to a no-income scenario or basic salary scenario where they are risking the likelihood of unemployment. Talking about the sustainability of the industry. And then we have chiropractic assistants that might lose their jobs too.
Right.
So how come, in your opinion, chiropractors are not classified as essential? And how is this impacting the health of your customers?
It is baffling. We are puzzled. Our patients and clients are confused and frustrated. In all honesty, we do not know why. It is more confusing because there was no justification as to why the physiotherapists are operating, but the chiropractors are kept away and are not available to provide care for their patients. Why would the government think that a physiotherapist is less likely to transmit the virus than a chiropractor? You know, why can't chiropractors see their patients if they observe similar, if not stricter, SOP? How come chiropractic services are not classified as essential when this practice area is recognized under the Complementary Medicine Department, the Ministry of Health, and it is part of the Malaysian healthcare system? I would like to quote a patient. In the past, I used to recover faster with both physiotherapy and chiropractic care. I would consult a chiropractor after any kind of a sprain-strain injury for a diagnosis and most of the time for spinal joint relief through adjustments, and get nutritional and postural guides to assist with my recovery and prevention of the injury. And I would see a physiotherapist to assist me in muscles and joints rehabilitation after that, or vice versa. But now I can no longer do that. Now I don't receive a wholesome care anymore. There you go. To us, chiropractors provide essential primary health care to a range of patients suffering from acute and chronic pain. Pain in the back, pain in the neck, and a myriad of other conditions. And chiropractors provide much needed service during a healthcare crisis, like now, when the people are seen working at home in a non-ergonomically friendly environment, resulting in postural pain and all. When the time spent at home dealing with work is stretched and dragged unpredictably, causing and producing physical, neurological, and mental discomfort. When the people now are living a more sedentary lifestyle. You see so many new exercise enthusiasts injuring themselves, trying new moves. These cases are actually highly preventable and most of the time reversible. But it is made impossible now because these patients can't meet their chiropractors or corrective exercise specialists or posture experts and so on and so forth. There is a recent study published in the International Journal of Health Sciences and Research. It states that 70.5% of participants between 18 to 65 years of age who were working from home reported discomfort and pain, especially in the lower back and neck regions. The number is alarming, but not surprising. And chiropractic care is deemed so essential in so many other developed countries, but sadly, not in Malaysia. In Malaysia, chiropractors were categorized as essential frontliners and receiving early vaccination under the National Immunization Program. But sadly, not essential enough to be able to provide care during this current lockdown. So instead of potentially lightening the load on the overstressed Malaysian healthcare system, there is a possibility of the opposite outcome. I'll give you a case. A case of a senior man in his 60s who was diagnosed with grade 2 to 3 knee osteoarthritis in May has missed 7 to 8 weeks of treatment now, and he's in terrible pain. He's going back to the hospital for more oral painkillers and is now considering a knee replacement surgery, something he had wanted to avoid or postpone in the very first place. I know many patients have echoed the saying, none but the wearer knows where the shoe pinches.
Right.
Now, what kind of SOPs are there in place? Because obviously there's a lot of physical contact.
First of all, I would like to say we have not been made aware of and have not received any report on COVID-19 infection clusters due to chiropractic services, because we have strict SOP for our members to follow. We chiropractors have detailed SOP manuals or guides from the Ministry of Health and also the ACM. We have even improvised the SOP several times to work around the uncertainties of the pandemic. We took advices from the CDC and WHO. You know, for example, like what kind of suitable solutions for disinfecting, and what kind of a proper dilution to prepare to disinfect effectively, and so on. So patients are screened with a COVID-19 health questionnaire 24 hours before the appointment. And patients must be on mask full-time, especially in the chiropractor's office. And patients are rescreened and observed for COVID-19 signs and symptoms, including a forehead temperature check on the day of the appointment. Failing any one of the criteria will be denied entry, and the appointments may be postponed to 10 to 14 days later. We also have isolation site at the premise entrance where the patients isolate their belongings. We will sanitize and disinfect patients' hands, forearms, and soles of feet before allowing them in. Patients' appointments are staggered to maintaining physical distancing and avoid crowding. And with the staggered appointment system, it allows proper disinfecting procedures being carried out between patients, particularly on and around areas and surfaces contacted. And then we have chiropractors on duty, always have their PPEs on full time, including double mask or a mask and a face shield combo, hand gloves, disposable PPE suit or gown. Chiropractors dispose of or disinfect and change new PPEs before greeting and accepting the next patient in line every time. And then we have 3 to 4 times of full disinfecting procedures on any given 8 hours to 10 hours kind of a shift a day. And then we only allow patients who are receiving care to enter the premise. Exception is given to children 18 years old and below, and also seniors and OKU. And then we have treatment or management time restricted to averagely 15 minutes per patient to minimize contact time. And then most chiropractors who work in the same facility, they work on rotations or shifts to avoid crowds. Patients are re-sanitized before leaving the premise, especially their hands. And for those who might not know, patients who receive chiropractic treatment, they receive with their clothes on or draped in a patient gown. So there'll be no direct skin contact, and besides the main physical examinations or physical or manual chiropractic adjustments, the chiropractor will not be in any contact with the patient at all. And I'm talking about skin contact. And usually the physical examinations or physical or manual chiropractic adjustments, these contacts take approximately less than 30 seconds each at any given spot on the body to assess and to treat or adjust. So some patients may need guides on exercises or postural training, and these activities rarely require contact. Only full physical observations are needed for this kind of activities.
Right. Thanks for laying that out for us, Dr. Tan. Now, how have chiropractors been surviving? You know, are there any opportunities to do any of their services online?
Let me begin by saying that the word chiropractic literally means performed by hands. A chiropractic treatment plan involves primarily one or more manual adjustments, in which the chiropractor manipulates the joints using a very controlled specific force by hands to improve the range and quality of a joint motion. And many chiropractors also include adjunct therapies such as nutritional and postural counseling, exercise rehabilitation, and modalities. Can anyone imagine practicing chiropractic online and survive? It is difficult, it is limited, and it is not possible. Online or virtual chiropractic care means it is only possible to meet the patient, greet the patient, and diagnose based on the patient's history. Without the necessary physical examination component, there is a likelihood of a misdiagnosis, and that leads to a mismanagement of any case. So, as a consequence, the best outcome during a virtual or teleconsult for the sake of the patient, the advice would be, please visit the nearest medical doctor or medical facility for further investigation or confirmation of your diagnosis before treatment. Honestly, that's the best advice for now. In general, I know chiropractors introduced virtual consultation during the first MCO and have been using the online platform sporadically ever since, or when needed. The nature of chiropractic treatment is such that it is required. It is required continuously over some time with very close monitoring and phasing and staging and adjustments often being made to the treatment program depending on the patient's progress. Chiropractic care is just not possible virtually. So at the end of the day, you will hear many chiropractors say, we cannot survive online.
Right. Now, Dr. Tan, speaking of business assistance and grants and such, has Pemulih helped in any way?
Let's put things in perspective. If a chiropractor comes from owning a private practice, SME, with the amount of assistance from Pemulih to date, it is adequate to only pay for half a month or a month of the facility rent, depending on locations of practice, or a month or two of utilities, depending on usage, or half a month or a month of a single employee or assistant or receptionist salary. And let me highlight, you could only choose one of these. So say you have chosen to pay for rent using Pemulih, your next payout will have to come from your own pocket. Or you have chosen to use Pemulih for utilities, then you will need to pay rent and salary using money from a different account, your personal account. So for chiropractors who are employed, you will probably hope to get some kind of a basic pay or wage from your company, or receive none because you have not had or treated any patient since lockdown. And interesting data collected last month, out of 40 chiropractic businesses who have responded, only approximately 12% of respondents have actually received some kind of financial relief or assistance from the government. So whether or not a chiropractor owns a private practice SME, she or he is hit hard by the lockdown SOP.
Right. Thank you for that, Dr. Tan. That was Dr. Noel Tan, chiropractor and president of the Association of Chiropractic Malaysia. Some interesting points there, especially the point for me that stood out for me was actually about the vaccination. So everyone in the chiropractic field were treated as essential frontliners and yep. got their vaccinations early, but then not really considered an essential service. So incongruent there.
Yeah, absolutely. And as he said earlier on, it's baffling why they are not allowed to operate whilst physiotherapists are allowed to operate. I honestly and genuinely do not understand why that is the case.
Right.
For those of you that are listening at home, though, let us know. Do you think that chiropractors are essential services? Why or why not? You can take part in the polls that we're running. Over on Twitter right now, the numbers are hovering at 76.6% for yes, 23.4% for no. Still over on Instagram, 82% of you are still saying yes, with 18% of you saying no, they are not.
Right. When we come back, we'll get to some of the messages that have come in. We've got some pretty interesting ones. And we'll also touch on that story about how some of the businesses in Singapore are in dire straits too. All that and more happening after Diana Ross with Upside Down. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.